Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. Don't know what's happening. Sometimes when we go overseas a long ways away, we have trouble making connections with a guest. Mohamed Mirandi was my scheduled guest today. I've gotten Mohamed on pretty easily past times. Something seems to be going awry today. We weren't able to make contact with him. I'll get him back. I think we tried a number of times in vain. We certainly did our best. I'll get him back for another broadcast, and I'll let him know that we tried and we simply weren't able to make a connection. But let me use this program for another purpose. Denny Rancourt, Professor Denny Rancourt, is also a regular on this program. He also is a victimized person up in Canada. Canada is a police state like America, and in Canada, like in America, it's not just ordinary people maybe protesting on the streets or in other ways. It's right on college campuses. Denny was a tenured University of Ottawa professor. For over the past 3 years, he's been fighting a valiant battle for judicial fairness. The whole system is stacked against him. I wrote a number of articles about Denny. We discussed his situation on this program. He's been so involved in what's going on now, court cases requiring his preparation, which is the main chore he has to do. He's virtually out of money. He literally spent everything he had. He's dependent on whatever help people can give him, in a dollar here, $5 or $10 there, to get up enough money, not to pay lawyers. He's serving as his own lawyer. He literally taught himself the law to be able to be his own representative. He needs money to be able to reproduce documents. I guess it's the same in American courts. You need to produce lengthy documents. They run many pages. You need multiple copies of these things. It runs into an enormous cost, and I think you have to do it to pass legal standards. I don't know precisely what they are in America. I certainly don't know what they are in Canada, but from what Denny tells me, they cost lots of money, and it requires him to come up with a way to pay for all this. But he's been in court until just recently, around mid May, and he walked out of court because of the judicial lynching that he faced. We chat every now and then, and we did yesterday by email. He asked me to do something for him, and I said, of course I'll do it, Denny. And I thought I wasn't going to be able to do it right away, but I made time yesterday, and I did it. And I want to tell you what I did. I'll devote the program to it. I wrote an article that I will circulate tomorrow, and I titled it, Activist Professor Denny Rancourt's Judicial Lynching. And that's exactly what's going on in Canada, just the way the same thing goes on in America. Let me give you an idea. I'll paraphrase what I wrote. I started off saying, Denny represents academia's best, most competent, most responsible, and bravest. He's got two blog sites. I urge listeners to visit them because you can get updated information on what's going on in his case. You can access him very simply by Googling his name, which is Denis, the S is silent, D-E-N-I-S, Rancourt, the T is silent, R-A-N-C-O-U-R-T. You also can go to my blog site tomorrow, and the article will be on my blog site tomorrow. It's all written. It's ready to go out. I'll get it out tomorrow. I got two others out today, and before the day is out, I may need to get out another one, something that may be time-sensitive I want to get right out. So I'm going to get this out tomorrow morning. But his two sites, they're blog sites. They're called Activist Teacher, and the other is called U of O Watch. And they provide regular updates, and Denny provides the content. He includes other material, anything that's relevant to his case. He'll include that. I imagine he'll probably post what I write. I think he's done it before. I did with Denny this morning what I would never do with anybody else because it's important. I wanted to be sure I had the legal aspects of his case written correctly in my article. So I sent him the article, and I had him look it over to be sure that the facts relating to his case were accurate. They were. And he sent them back to me. He said, fine. He thanked me very much for the article. He really praised me more than I deserve, but he deserves it. He's been through a horrendous battle. He found a couple of typos that I corrected, and I really appreciated that. What's happening to Denny, I said, can happen to anybody. Challenging a system that's too deplorable to accept, and that's exactly what's going on in Canada. Denny was sacked at the University of Ottawa. The university is run by a former Canadian political hack. That's all you can call him. You can call him a lot more than that. He really is. He's a lot more than a hack. He's a fascist. He runs the University of Ottawa like a police state, like his private fiefdom. He knows about me. He read my other articles. He is not happy about the things that I write about him. He can't challenge them because they're true. He hasn't done anything about them. What's he going to do, sue me? Send some thugs down here to attack me? Well, he's in Canada. I'm here. Well, Ottawa isn't that far from Chicago. I guess he could do whatever he wants to do. He could get CIA thugs to come after me, or maybe FBI thugs. These are the way thugs operate. This is the way fascism operates. Same in Canada. He has a fascist prime minister, Stephen Harper. He was George Bush's buddy. He's Obama's buddy. He's Benjamin Netanyahu's buddy in Israel. He's a fascist. Just the way Obama is a fascist, Bush is a fascist, neocons, fascists, same thing. Canadian policy, U.S. policy, same thing. Canada is really the 51st state. It's been that way for a good number of years. And the way they treat Denny and many others like him is absolutely outrageous. Again, what happened to him can happen to anybody who challenges the system responsibly. Why was he sacked? His teachers called him, and I quote it, they called him a phenomenal teacher. He really was, from everything that I understand. He didn't teach the conventional way. He believed the function of teaching is learning. How about that for a radical concept? And you've got to inspire students to want to learn. And his students were inspired to learn. And they never had another teacher like Denny, but they don't have many more. Denny was sacked primarily for supporting the rights of Palestinians to liberation, to justice, to ending Israel's occupation harshness. Canada supports Israel even more intensively than America does, if you can believe that. It's true. That's the reason Harper went to Israel to meet with Netanyahu, and I read the speech that he gave there, and I wrote about it. Absolutely outrageous. I won't bore you with it. It's a different topic. But Harper, Harper, again, is just like the neocons in America with the outrageous support. But that was the main reason that Denny was fired. He supported Palestinians. He did it publicly. He was involved in activities. He did the kind of things that everybody should do. I do it in my writing. I'm sure the Israelis know about me well. I've written, dare I say, hundreds of articles on Israel-Palestine, and I pull no punches. I wrote one just a couple of days ago. I titled it Israeli State Terror. I'm surprised I hadn't used that title before. I think I used a couple close to it, but that was the title of my article. Oh, there's no question that the people in Israel spot that stuff, and I'm sure they know me. And there's some kind of a list. Forget the precise name, but it's called an SHIT list regarding Israel, and I'm on it. And they actually gave me more of a write-up than they did people very, very prominent. I was astonished, including my picture and enough information about me. I was really amazed. I spotted this some time ago. Maybe they've updated it now with more information. But I've written hundreds of articles on Israel-Palestine, pulling no punches in any of them. And I'll say forthrightly, I'm Jewish, which has nothing to do with what I say about Israel. Jewishness is one thing, and Israel is something entirely else. Zionism, which runs Israel, is a malignancy. It's a cancer, and it harms Jews and non-Jews alike. But that was Denny's quote-unquote crime, and he was fired, and he's been fighting a judicial battle for justice ever since. On the one hand, for reinstatement. On the other hand, he made an innocent comment quoting Malcolm X, who coined the term House Negro. House Negro. That came from Malcolm X in the 1960s. Well, Denny used the term in relation to a law professor at U of O in the tank for Dennis Rock, the president of U of O. Disgraceful. A law professor, supposedly a human rights law professor, and she disgraced herself. She aligned herself with the fascist elements running the university. When Denny used the term, she accused him outrageously of racism. Then he, using the term, had nothing to do with racism. He quoted Malcolm X. She sued him for $1 million. And the University of Ottawa is paying all of her legal expenses. So in other words, the University of Ottawa is going all out to ruin Denny every way they possibly can. Dennis Rock again, the fascist, and they enlisted the help of the law professor. I'll come down to her more in just a second. I'll say more about her in just a second. But they enlisted her help, and she's the one that's responsible for putting Denny through this outrageous, outrageous aggravation. He's been at it for over 3 years, waging a battle in court. He's doing it against one of the most prestigious law firms in Canada. I believe more than one, but at least the most prestigious law firm in Canada. I mean, they have all kinds of resources to put in. Denny's got nothing but his will for justice, nothing else except that. He's against this law firm. I think it's against another one as well. And the law professor, Joanne St. Louis, is colluding with Alan Rock against Denny, irresponsibly. I mean, she's a disgrace to academia. She's a disgrace to the university. She's a disgrace to the students she claims to want to help. She's a disgrace to anybody claiming human rights and civil rights credentials. She's black, of course. She should support human rights and civil rights. She should be aligned with Denny for justice. Instead, she attacked him maliciously. She wants $1 million. Well, she's not going to get $1 million because Denny doesn't have 2 cents to give her. But she's putting him through all this aggravation. My article goes on to explain the latest of what went on. I cover a lot of preliminary information, including material that's very relevant to his case. The overall U of O maliciousness that has gone after him for such a long time. Just outrageous stuff. It's piled on. Denny is waging a battle against it. But more against the courts of Canada piling on against him. Against Canadian systemic injustice. The entire Canadian system reflects systemic injustice. The judges, they're in the tank, just the way the neocon ones are in America. The justices are in the tank in Canada. And they lined up against him. Cynthia McKinney came to Denny's help. She lined up for him. You know who Cynthia McKinney is, former congresswoman for a decade, former Green Party presidential candidate, guest on this program when I can get her to come on. She's a globetrotter. She's doing all kinds of things. I asked her, well, she's a contributor to my book on Ukraine, Flashpoint in Ukraine. She's an important contributor. I didn't think I was going to get her because she was finishing up her doctorate. She said she was going to be finishing it up just at about the time the window was closing to accept more content. I don't know how she did it, but somehow I think she finished her doctorate, at least first draft. I remember what it was like for me when I finished my MBA thesis, first draft. It was almost over then, so I think Cynthia is almost home. She'll be home before too long. So she got it done, and she surprised me. With about 24 hours to go, she whipped out an article, a very credible article. We talked about it. We included it in the book. She's got a chapter in the book. Just absolutely marvelous. I'm so delighted she was able to get it in, because she wrote a book on Libya in 2011, and I was a contributor to her book, and I absolutely wanted her to be a contributor to mine, and she got it in just under the wire. So since I thanked her very, very much in emails, and as soon as I can get hold of her, I'm going to get her on this program to come back. We'll talk about Ukraine, her doctorate, anything she wants to talk about. But she's an extraordinary woman. She's the exception that proves the rule, a true profile in courage. There are very few ever who have ever served in the Congress like Cynthia. There's nobody I know of now. Of the 535 there today, there's not a single one that comes up to her socks. Her socks. Let alone even comes close. To replicating the courage and activism for justice that she represents. She really is the real thing. And so unusual to see somebody like that end up in Congress. But she was there. And because she was so good, she got drummed out of the Congress, not once, but twice. The second time she ran for re-election after a short pause, and she was re-elected, but they drummed her out again. I think she wants nothing more to do with politics. She took the Green Party presidential candidacy. I think a lot of people wanted her to do it. And that was when I met Cynthia. I met her in Chicago in summer 2008. They had their convention downtown. And I went down to meet some others who were attending it. But I really hoped for a chance to meet her. And I did. I got a chance to meet her. We chatted for a few minutes. She had all kinds of people around her. She didn't have much chance to talk to anybody. But she knew who I was. We chatted just for a couple of minutes. Then I let her get off with her other business. But you know, I've never been to a convention before. I mean, the others are circuses. This one was jam-packed with activist people. I sat in on some of the meetings. They were talking about real, real issues. People were presenting information that they presented and they prepared in advance, and I was delighted to be able to sit in and listen to them and ask a question. This is the way democracy is supposed to work, not the way it does with Republicrats or Democrats, whatever you want to call them. I call them fascists. That's what they are. Anyway, Cynthia lined up with Denny. She put together some material. She put together a petition. It's in my article. I urge people to access it, to sign it, to support Denny Rancourt's struggle for justice. And indeed it does. Denny had a recent post in mid-May on his one of his blog sites. He explained why he walked out of court and he will not go back. The judge in his case, Judge Chabanneau, he's got to be another fascist. He's lined up with the University of Ottawa. He silenced Denny when he was addressing the jury in his opening statement. He violated Canadian law. He violated Canadian law. Canada has its version of a Bill of Rights, just like America. It affirms the right of free speech and everything else that democratic countries are supposed to have. It's right there in Canada's Bill of Rights. And Judge Chabanneau violated the Bill of Rights. He silenced Denny. He wouldn't even let Denny present his opening statement to the jurors in his own defense. In his own defense. Denny was outraged. Denny is a very, very distinguished guy. He is a world-recognized expert in physics and in environmental science. He is world-respected, tenured at the university, and they treat him like a bum, like a criminal. He deserves much better. Everybody deserves better. For sure, Denny does. He devoted his life to doing the right thing and wonderful teaching and everything else. And I know Denny, and I'll certainly vouch for him. And any time he asks me to do something for him to help him, I'm right there in lockstep with him. I thought it would take me a couple of days to get the article out. I told him I was so involved in a couple of other things, and a couple of things I won't necessarily mention on this program. They're personal, but I mentioned them to Denny. He wished me good luck with what I was involved in. And yesterday, I just made some time. This whole situation just gnawed at me. I couldn't go to bed last night without at least starting an article. And I worked long. I put in about a 14-hour day yesterday. At nearly age 80, it really strained me to do that. At 12, 13, that's about my max. But I went to 14 or a little bit over 14, and I finished a draft of an article for him, and this morning I polished it up and I sent it to Denny. He corrected a couple of typos. It's all ready to go out, and I'll send it out tomorrow. But it includes a statement that he had on his blog site why he walked out of the court. Basically, he walked out because he had his right of free speech taken away from him. If a court of law in Canada does not allow him to defend himself, then how in hell can he do it? Well, he can't. So what's the point of going on with his defense? He walked out, but he included this statement. He asked me to write an article. I'm doing it. He urges other people to sign his petition. It's right in my article. You can click it. You can access it. You can sign it. You can send it in. That's the only chance he has for justice. If enough people get behind him and support him, then maybe the courts will be forced to do what they haven't done so far. They'll be forced to give him due process. Who ever heard of a democracy that doesn't have it? Well, America doesn't have it. I've written dozens of articles about political prisoners in America. I've written a few about political prisoners in Canada. Same system, same injustice, same horrors. Well, I don't support it. Nobody listening to this program supports it. Let's get behind Denny and let's support him. Tell others, do it. Access the petition. Go to my article tomorrow. You'll find it. Or you can go to Denny's blog sites, Activist Teacher, and UFO Watch. You can find it there. But for sure on my blog, Steve Lenman blog. Google my last name, Lenman. That's the way I access my blog every day. Not a lot of Lenmans around. You can access it. You'll see my article. I'll top feature it tomorrow. I'll make it easy for you. You won't even have to scroll down. I'll top feature it. You'll see it. You'll see a link in the article. You can access it. Sign the link. Send it in. Do one more thing. Tell others about it. Tell them to go to my blog site. Tell them to sign the access the link. Sign the petition. Send it out. Support an activist professor literally fighting for the rights he's been denied, the rights he deserves, the rights everybody deserves. An extraordinary man, an extraordinary human being, a man I'm proud to call my colleague and my friend. And any time he wants a voice in this program, he's got it. Any time. I'm right with him. That's what I wanted to say on this program. Denny is one of many victims in America and in Canada, and heaven knows in the countries that America attacks, either belligerently or financially or politically. And we know the horrors going on in all the countries post 9/11, from Afghanistan to Iraq to Libya to Syria, the horrors going on in Ukraine now, the support for what's going on in Palestine, Israel's war crimes against Palestinians, America's proxy wars, so many of them, the ones that get my attention mainly are ones in places like Yemen, in Somalia, but they're in so many other places as well. So many African countries, the horrors going on in Nigeria right now, what you read about the Boko Haram, turning truth on its head for sure. The CIA is very much involved in what's going on. CIA is involved virtually everywhere. I mean, there's no country in the world that isn't infested with CIA agents, and they only go for one reason, to create mischief. And U.S. Special Forces are in over 120 countries worldwide. They're not goodwill ambassadors. They're hired killers. They're trained killers. So when they go in to practice their trade. In Ukraine right now, there are mercenaries, Blackwater types, supporting the Putschist government. They're CIA agents and FBI agents. I wrote an article about that. Dozens of CIA agents and FBI agents operating in Ukraine illegally, supporting the fascist government. It's going on. And a German newspaper reported it. They broke the news. Bild am Sonntag was the newspaper. They reported the news. And it was a very weak denial from, I think, CIA, maybe FBI also. They lie through their teeth. We all know that. They're there. They're supporting the fascist regime. The Blackwater types are there. This is what goes on when America gets involved. There'll be a sham election in Ukraine on Sunday. We'll talk more about it on my next program. Well, that'll be on Sunday. It'll be the day of the election. I'll be on live on Sunday, May 25th, my next program. And that'll be the day of the Ukrainian election. It's not an election. It's an anointment. The only candidates that are running are the fascist-approved ones. Democracy is absolutely excluded from ballot choices. I'm not making this up. This is absolutely true. And who's going to win? Well, I can tell you who's going to win. It's going to be a billionaire crook by the name of Poroshenko. Poroshenko. A billionaire crook. He made his money the old-fashioned way. He stole it. He was picked to be Ukraine's next president. He's in bed with the others who are there now. He supports the worst of fascist extremism. He did before. He's stolen, I don't know how much money he's stolen. He's stolen a hell of a lot of money. He's a billionaire. He's a billionaire oligarch. I've got an article I'm putting out tomorrow that will include information about him and a little bit more about the election. I wrote an election article this morning that I put out. I've only got a few minutes left. I just very, very briefly. I wrote about the election coming up. I'll say a little bit more about it. But I wrote another article I'll send out tomorrow that features him. It also gives a little bit of background in Ukraine post the Soviet Russia's dissolution in 1991. Ukraine, just like Russia at that time, became a hotbed of grand theft. Oligarch power. It happened in Russia. It happened in Ukraine. I mean, just massive grand theft. And Poroshenko got his share, which is the reason I say he made his money the old-fashioned way. He stole it. He's got interest in food. He's called the Chocolate King. He's got automotive interest. He's got media interest. He wants only his message getting out. He's going to win. It's already predetermined. So President Poroshenko, if I address him in an article, it'll be with a small, not a capital P. I use a capital P for legitimate presidents. I use small letters for illegitimate ones, whether they're presidents or ministers or anything else. So he'll get a small P. But he's aligned with the Putsch's people. He supported the Maidan violence before February 21 and 2. He supported the coup in February 21, 22. He supported the 2004 Orange Revolution, ousted a democratically elected government, put in an illegal one. He supported that. He funded the Putschists, so you can see why they picked him to be the next president. He doesn't have a majority lead in the polls. He may need two rounds to do it, but the next candidate closest to him has a poll rating in single digits. Is there any doubt who's going to win? It's going to be him. Anyway, I'll say more about it on my program. Oh, let me just wrap things up by saying I archive programs every Thursday and Friday. I'm on Sundays live at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm really concerned about telling listeners what they really need to know. I'll be 80 years old this summer. This has become an absolute passion for me. I wake up every morning looking forward to writing more articles, to spreading more truths, to hosting this program. I love it. I love every bit of it. I'm asked frequently to be guests on other programs. Sometimes it's two times a day. In a typical week, I probably do four or five interviews. I never turn anybody down as long as I'm not sleeping. I really look forward to it. Truth-telling, to me, has become my post-working life profession, and dare I say, an obsession. It really is an obsession. I can't imagine anything more important. And a thing I like to repeat often is saying, today is the most perilous time in world history. It absolutely is. Anything could happen anytime. We could find ourselves ending up in a global war. We could see the worst of all possible outcomes. And the only way to stop this thing is for responsible, ordinary people to decide they're not going to put up with this. They want a better world, and they're going to put their bodies on the line enough to see that we have a chance to get it, and that's the only way it's possible. I do it every day in my writing, in my media work, and if people want me to line up to do more, I'm ready to do it. And this is the way I intend to spend the rest of my life, as long as my health holds out. You get older, you get shakier, you know the way it goes. We're just a machine. We wear out over time. But I'm going right down to the wire, and I can tell you one thing. I'm going to go standing on my feet. I'm not going to go sitting down. Join us three times a week. I hope you'll do it. I look forward to having you on. I'll be here. I'll do my best every time.